Mini episode 179 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by Outside the Box Score, your home on the web for entertaining sports columns and videos. Follow them on the web at OutsideTheBoxScoreBlog.com.
The FDH Lounge. You want to schedule your life around it.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
Yeah, I would say so. I don't think I have this on hand right here, unfortunately. I'm going to look at the divisional odds, but I would have to imagine that there is, well, New England in the East will certainly give Houston here a run for its money. But in terms of divisional odds, who's picking against Houston here?
Yeah.
I really like Houston. I know you do, too.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they're just going to win the division. I think they're going a lot of places.
Right.
But, you know, in typical Kyle fashion here, let's talk about how we got here, okay, with Houston.
Okay.
Last year, just so you know, they finally broke through. Finally lived up. They were a great point spread team, too, going 11-5-2 against the number. Thank you very much. But they finally delivered on the hype. You know, for years it seemed everyone's like, oh, Houston, they're my sleeper pick this year. And it never worked out. Last year, and I'd like to know, and I'm not going to pat myself on the back, maybe I will, before the Manning injury, if you remember, I came on this program and said, they'll win the division.
Okay.
Well, we knew Manning was hurt, we just didn't know how severe it was.
Yeah.
And they did do it. I mean, it was really, after we did that podcast at the beginning of the season, it really was laid out on the table for them. You had Chris Johnson holding out in Tennessee, the Manning injury in Indianapolis, and Jacksonville essentially waved the white flag when they cut David Garrard right before the season started.
Right.
So, I mean, it was all there for them, and it was pretty clear that it would take a very Houston Texan-like move to screw this up. And they almost did it with all the injuries. Andre Johnson on the offensive side of the ball, Mario Williams on the defensive side of the ball.
Tom Phillips missed a game with
him. Yeah, and they were all the way down to the venerable T.J. Yates, their third-string quarterback, come playoff time.
Yeah.
But they did win the division, and I just don't see this team regressing at all. I think they're the most complete team in the AFC. I'm going to come out and say it. I think Wade Phillips, who we both agreed last year, would turn around that defense. Neither of us thought to the degree he did.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he did it. I do not think they missed the departed Mario Williams, who goes to Buffalo, as he was injured all the time anyway. And they still were that great. I think the defense is even better this year.
They also don't have D'Amico Ryan's, kind of a similar situation.
True. But I think, to me, you know, Phillips loves J.J. Watt. They play in a very weak division. I think if there is a team, there's no team more likely to go 6-0 in its own division than the Houston Texans. And that means if they go 5-5 against the rest of the way, which seems conservative, that's an 11-5 finish. I could see them honestly finishing as high as 13-3. I've got them at 11-5. Though.
Very fitting that you were saying, you prefaced it by wanting to talk about how we got here, because I was thinking Houston has the same chance of losing this division that Obama does of losing Vermont.
Okay, that's very good. Yeah. Or the District of Columbia.
Yes, exactly.
I think they even went McGovern and Mondale.
I think so, in their infinite wisdom.
Yes, but I got it here for you, Ricky. Odds to win the division.
Okay.
New England is at minus 400 to win the East.
Okay.
Houston minus 225 to win the South. So the Patriots are the biggest favorite to win any division in the league. San Francisco, we'll talk about them in a while when we talk about the NFC. They're minus 250 to win their division. Green Bay also minus 225 to win the North, but in the NFC. But that's a much tougher division than some of these other ones we just mentioned. So
interesting that Houston's considered a little bit more of a long shot than New England when New England is arguably in the tougher division.
I agree. I just don't, like I said, I look to automatically pick against last year's division champions.
Mm-hmm.
Like New England in the East, I just can't do it here. And I feel more strongly if you were to say, Kyle Ross, pick me a division winner this year. You have to pick that. You have to be right, or we'll vanquish you from the earth. I'd go with Houston.
I would agree with that.
I would go with Houston over New England.
I agree. Now, I know you disagree with what I'm about to say next. I think the second place team, who I think we both agree on, this is Shades of the East when we both had Buffalo in second, but only you picked them as a wild card. We both have Tennessee as the second team here. I got them at 9-7. I got them in the grid, but taking in the playoff spot and a tiebreaker over the Buffalo Bills.
Well, you like them a lot more than I do then. I've got them at 7-9.
Okay.
I do not have the I can see how you'd have them as a playoff contender. There's certainly two different ways to look at the 2011 Titans season.
Mm-hmm.
If I was to look at the glass half full, they got to 9-7 despite the fact that Chris Johnson had a career worst year. I mean, he only gained like 4 yards per carry last year, which is not good. I mean, to put it in perspective, I think he did 2 years ago, he did 5.6. That is a significant drop-off.
Mm-hmm.
So I think if you're a Titans backer, like you are, you're going to say, hey, they went 9-7. Chris Johnson gave him next to nothing. Fantasy people know that Johnson gave him next to nothing. Mm-hmm. He was a terrible pick in the fantasy world.
Terrible.
Terrible. So you should naturally think, okay, well, 9-7, Johnson gives him nothing. Johnson's going to do better this year. They'll be better.
Mm-hmm.
Here's where I see the problem. They completely overachieved at quarterback last year at Hasselbeck. I thought Hasselbeck was done, and he gave him a great year.
Agreed.
This year they go to Jake Locker, and this just smells like a transition year. It's the right move long-term because Hasselbeck, look, I still think he doesn't have another good year in him. I was wrong last year. I think as the years go on, I'm going to be more right. I mean, Locker, there's going to be some growing pains. He's looked pretty good in limited duty. But here's the problem. Their schedule starts brutal, man. They go New England, San Diego, Detroit, Houston, and Pittsburgh, 5 of the first 6 games. They could dig themselves a very early hole. And that might be all she wrote for the AFC South right there.
Yeah.
Because the other two teams, I just don't see them doing much.
I don't disagree much on Locker. I don't disagree much on the schedule. But it's a thing like I got to pick some teams in the AFC.
I almost went with them because I needed to find a 6th team. I was like, are they going to way overperform my expectations? Let me take a look here.
All but a tiny handful of teams in the AFC are way too implausible to me. And again, shades of picking Pittsburgh as the other wild card in this one here. I don't have anything against the Titans per se, but I don't like Mike Munchak at all. So, again, I'm being objective. I'm being completely objective here.
By the way, Vegas win totals. Tennessee right at 7, so that's where I've got to be. This is a clear over. This is your first over recommendation, it seems to me. Interesting that the money is moving in the direction of the over here, too. You got to lay 150 on the money line to win 100, where it is plus money to go under the 7. I can't see them doing under 7. I think 7's a very good. I see them landing right on it. As far as Houston goes, because we didn't go through that, they've got them at 10. The money is firmly on the over there. I definitely like Houston over 10. Houston is so tricky sometimes that I kind of worry, can they put it together for a complete 16 games? So I'm not going to come out like I did with Baltimore and totally recommend a wager like I did with Baltimore under 10.
Mm-hmm.
But Houston, to me, gets one of the two byes. With Houston and New England are clearly, to me, and I think you agree here, the teams that earn the first-round byes in the NFC.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. So you've got Tennessee in the playoffs. I do not. Indy and Jacksonville? Ugh.
I didn't think we'd agree on this because I thought my point of view was a little more unique, but from talking to you off air, we are very much in accord on how we have them slotted. We're looking at this the same way.
Yeah, no, it's interesting that if you had asked me a month ago before preseason started, I had these teams fairly even, clearly battling for last place in the division, and Vegas views them as even, by the way, with both projected at a 5.5 win total.
Okay.
In the case of the Colts, slightly over at 6. Now, the public is kind of with us here, Ricky, because there's slightly more money on the over 5.5 for Indianapolis, where there's slightly more money on the under 5.5 for Jacksonville. What's the reason? Let's be honest. It's Andrew Luck.
The public's a bunch of Mark Markersons that saw good things out of Andrew Luck in the preseason and is saying, OMG, second Manning already.
I'm not going to go that far, but he's very good. I can't state enough how good Andrew Luck is going to be in this league. He doesn't have enough around him to do anything serious, but I've got the Colts at 6-10. This year, and Luck did look good in the preseason, and I've said this to people all offseason, the best college game I saw last year from a pro prospect perspective, say that three times fast, was Stanford-USC, that triple overtime game.
Yep.
That, to me, because, you know, when you watch an SEC game, it doesn't seem like a pro game. You know, they've kind of got just bad offenses, great, the defenses just completely dominate. Arkansas is the exception to that rule. We're not going to go off on a tangent here, I promise you.
Okay.
But that Stanford-USC game most closely resembled an NFL game among all the college games I watched last year. It was because of luck on the Stanford side and Barkley, who's probably going to go number one next year. Barkley out of USC will go number one next April, at least should. He's going to be the number one prospect. So I got the Colts doing a little bit better than the Jaguars. The Jaguars, I only have them winning four games. I think they stink. Yeah. I just don't – like the Browns, there's just not enough – this is a league where you win with explosive offense.
Right.
And they just don't have the pieces, man. I mean, you can't win in this league consistently with an offense as bad as Jacksonville's. Blaine Gabbert, gimmicky offense out of the Big 12, not sold on him yet. Jones-Drew, hold out. That never helps. We saw it with Johnson last year in Tennessee. So I've got Jacksonville 4-12 as one of the worst teams in the league. Like, a month ago, I had these teams even. Right now, I definitely agree with the public and say the Colts are better.
Yeah, I agree with you on record. 6-10 for Indy, 4-12 for Jacksonville. That's what I got written down here. And, that's how I see it shaking out. Jacksonville just doesn't have enough offensively to make it happen. Again, I think Justin Blackmon is going to be great, but somebody's got to get him the ball. And, again, Mo Jones-Drew, he should maybe dial up Chris Johnson and see how that preseason holdout works for you coming into a season here. I don't blame him for trying to get his cash, but he didn't get it, and I don't think he's going to be making much of a case for it this year.
No, Jack's a bad market, too. I mean, we could bloviate about that.
Yeah, they never should have been put there in the first place.
No, it's just a bad market, so, you know, I just don't see, I can't see, there's always a best-case scenario for most teams. Jacksonville's best-case scenario has got to be about as poor as any teams in the league.
It is. It is. They're
the only thing I can say is it's a pretty weak division.
Yeah, it is.
You like it a little more than I do.
The division.
Tennessee.
Yeah, exactly. I see Tennessee being a little bit stronger than you do, but as far as it goes with Jacksonville, again, had they not been put into the league in the first place, I mean, you could make a case very possibly 2000 Super Bowl champion Cleveland Browns, perhaps. Well, yeah, if Baltimore gets that expansion team instead, you make that case.
I think I made that case. I watched the Baltimore Colts 30 for 30.
Oh, with their insipid band people and whatnot.
You know, can you say something nice about ESPN? Those are some fine documentaries, by the way.
30 for 30 is very good, especially by the ESPN standards, but again.
Here's the thing. Here's my point.
Like, I'm going to feel more sorry for some tuba player than I am for myself losing the Browns. Come on.
Here's my point.
Yeah.
They made the case in that documentary that the Baltimore folks were very surprised that they didn't get the expansion team along with Carolina that year.
Right.
They went to Jacksonville, like you mentioned, and, you know, wouldn't Modell have moved? Modell would not have had such a willing dance partner to move to in Baltimore had the Ravens gotten the franchise from Jacksonville, because I don't think he would have been as crazy to move the team to Jacksonville.
Well, and those, he did entertain Jacksonville at one point. I remember reading a story about this one time of him getting completely liquored up, getting on a plane, flying to a rally at the Gator Bowl. They packed like the Gator Bowl, trying to we love you, Robert, bring the Colts here. There was like a big rally there, and then I think like he flew back to Baltimore and denied that it ever happened. Classic Robert Irsay. But as far as Baltimore goes, you gotta love the hypocrite fans there, whose three favorite words were "damn that Irsay" for many years. And then all of a sudden, after 93, when they got passed over for the expansion team, their favorite three words became "due unto others."
Well, I'll tell you what, somebody's been working really hard late at night. Hey, you know what? That's life in the big city. Okay, let me tell you something.
You about to tell me Baltimore's more happening market than Cleveland?
I've never been to Baltimore.
I've been there. Yes. Fortunately, I was able to dodge the apparently airborne STDs when I was there.
Okay.
But,
it's about Baltimore or Bowling Green, by the way.
No comment on that one. But I was actually, you know what, I'll bring the story, the mini episode around on this note. One of my memories of Baltimore going to flying out with some friends. They had those nice $49 flights back in 98, flying out to the Great American Bash out there and watching it at the Baltimore Civic Arena.
You're kidding me.
No, I'm
you
not
really
kidding.
Did this.
In the spring of 98 with some friends, and here's the best part of it. That was during the Stanley Cup Finals when the Red Wings were up 2-0 on the Washington Capitals.
Okay.
So, me liking to basically troll whoever I can, wearing my Red Wings jersey to the Baltimore Civic Arena and trying to get chance started of Let's Go Red Wings.
I'll tell you what. Great American Bash 98.
Yes.
Well, that was a real dog event.
Yeah.
That was on the real downward slide.
I saw that one. You talk about the nadir of one company and then the next month going to Pittsburgh for King of the Ring.
Oh, well, you
so
were
I saw both
how
of
the world traveled you?
In the summer of 98, yeah, I was going different places watching pay-per-views.
Very nomadic.
The lingering image that I have of that event, well, I guess you could also say Mick Foley getting thrown off the cage, but the other part of it being some typical Pittsburgher in the men's room taking a leak in the sink. There you go. Welcome to Pittsburgh. You know, they should have that up on a sign, that image as you drive into Pittsburgh. You know?
Well, it kind of reminds me of the Jaguars season, by the way, this year.
As we bring it full circle.
As we bring the show to a close, we would like to extend our deepest gratitude to NBC, CBS, ABC, Fox, All Clear Channel affiliates, TNT, TBS, USA, UPN, Deadspin.com, YouTube.com, YTMND.com, MySpace.com, various blogs, Fox News, CNN, CNBC, MSNBC, IamBored.com, Billboard.com, Google.com, ESPN, ESPN2, ESPN News, ESPN Classic, NBA TV, NFL Network, Sports Time Ohio, Athlon Magazine, Comedy Central, Cartoon Network, The Boomerang Channel, QVC, BET, The Spice Channel, Steno Notebooks, Manwich, Papermate Office Supplies, Waitresses, Strippers, Bartenders, Garbage Men, Janitors, Microwave Popcorn, The Writers of The Office, Scrubs, Entourage, My Name is Earl, Oz, Metalocalypse and the Boondocks, Awkwafina, and The Periodic Table of Elements.